My name is Christ. We come in our last class in the book of Mark. So, because of our last class, so let's open to discussion before we go into my last sharing in the book of Mark. Any questions, any thought at all about the book of Mark? Any passages that you want to be explained? Because, yeah, for sure we're not going to be able to finish it. Any passage that you have read that you feel like you need explanation, or you want to share your thoughts? Yes. 12, Mark chapter 12, verse what, sister? Verse 36. 12, verse 36. Let's read from verse 35. Yeah, let's see from verse 35 to verse 37. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that this Christ is the son of David? Verse 36. For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make you enemies your footstool. Verse 37. Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So can anyone explain these three verses? Here, when our Lord Jesus Christ was in the temple, and then he said, you know, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? Why was Christ the son of David? Yes? Yes, the first thing, his bloodline, right? His bloodline. Because Christ was prophesied he will come from the genealogy of King David, right? King David. So that's why here said, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? So son of David is not like, oh, that is David's son, right? In a sense, that sense, but from the bloodline, right? From bloodline. Remember Seth, who is his father? I mean, not Seth, Adam, who was his father? God, right? Because from the genealogy, actually, I mean, even though Adam was the first human being that God have created, but every one of us, now that live or ever lived before, we all sons of Adam. That's not who we are, right? Of course, Adam and Eve. Because from the bloodline, we only came from those two people. So, but as the earth continued to grow, as men continued to multiply, and then God chose for himself the Hebrews, right? Hebrews. What does the word Hebrews mean? Hebrews. A man that made coffee, Hebrews. No, I'm just joking. Hebrews, what does the word Hebrews mean? You guys just got it, huh? Still early in the morning. Yeah, Hebrews, what does it mean? On the other side of the river, right? Or cross over side to the river. So because of that time, God just chose a particular group. There was the Hebrews, of course, and then they become Jews. And David, he's the father of our Lord Jesus Christ through the bloodline. And then verse 36, for David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make you enemies, your footstool. What does this mean now? What does this mean? By the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, right? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. What is this? Who is the first Lord? And who is this Lord say to Lord? Who is the first Lord? Huh? Yes, God, right? And who is the second Lord? Jesus, right? Jesus. So here we can see it's from the genealogy, from the bloodline, but also here is what? It's under time and space. Not in the spiritual realm, right? Under time and space. So here, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, right? There's our Lord Jesus Christ. Until I make your enemy your footstool. This is, you know, so in other words, That's how Jesus Christ, from the human perspective, from the bloodline, he is the son of David. But don't forget, he is God. Right? He is God. And that's why, therefore David himself called him Lord. How is he then his son? Then, of course, because of the bloodline. Not because physically he was, you know, only from the genealogy of David, but he's God himself. Okay? Any other question or thought? Yes. Oh, because then they know that, of course, the prophecy, right? The prophecy was fulfilled because the king comes from David. And David, of course, you know, come from, you know, all those genealogy that God have chosen, right? Yeah. Because all the prophecy must be fulfilled. Then when it's fulfilled, of course, people are always going to rejoice in it because what God have said in the past, it's true, right? It's true. Okay, any other thought, any other comment? Yes. No, remember, John the Baptist, what period does, how the John the Baptist, how they were saved? Remember, we talked about that, right? John the Baptist, you know, era, right? Before Jesus Christ died, buried, resurrected, and glorified, how were the people saved during that time? Huh? Remember we said in Hebrew chapter, the Hall of Faith, remember the Hall of Faith? Yeah, 11, right? So before Jesus Christ died and resurrected and glorified, everyone who was saved beforehand, they must live a life of faith. They must live a life of faith. So for sure, John will go to heaven, that's for sure. Because he has such great faith, right? He have such great faith. It's only one time that he had doubt. He said, messenger, they asked Jesus, are you the coming one, right? It's just very strange because all this time, it's like, there's one coming after me. He said, I'm not, you know, worthy to lose and this and that, right? But it was when he was in jail, then he has a little doubt, right? But that's it. But for sure, he had great faith. So even those, for example, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if our Lord Jesus Christ did not die and shed his blood for mankind, can they be saved? No, they cannot. You guys realize that, right? No, they cannot. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Verse 13. So that's why no one can be saved without our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the Old Testament and not in the New Testament. And how can they gain Jesus Christ? It's only through baptism. If you read and do search, a word search on pure conscience, no one's conscience can be pure only through what? Baptism. That's it. No, only through baptism. That's why everyone needs to be baptized to be saved. And look at chapter 11, verse 13 in the book of Hebrews. These all die in faith, not having received the promises. They all die in faith, but they didn't receive the promises. But having seen them afar off, we are assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then look at verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So here, those who's in Old Testament, God gave them a check, right? And the check is eternal life. But it was not signed yet. They cannot cash it in yet. When can they cash it in, this check? When can they cash it in? Huh? Yes. When Jesus died and glorified. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ, not only a good shepherd, but also he's what? He's not only a good shepherd, right? He's a what shepherd? Okay. This is very important, right? Because not only did Jesus Christ die for us, he's also what? He's also what for us? If he only died for us, the salvation is not complete. Just like so many people in this world, right? During the Cambodian genocide, many parents died for the children. That doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven, you understand? First, they're not God, even though they died for their kids. But what else did our Lord Jesus Christ do that make our salvation complete? So our Lord Jesus Christ, what does a good shepherd do? What's that? A good shepherd, key and tense for sheep is true, but a good shepherd, lays life, die for a sheep. And then in the book of Hebrews, talking about he's also a great shepherd. What does a great shepherd do? That is a good shepherd, lay down his life for sheep. He's a good shepherd, he laid down his life for sheep. He's a great shepherd, he's blameless, yes. But what does he do for the sheep? A great shepherd is Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Verse 20. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from Hebrews 13, 20. Okay. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep. So here, what does a great shepherd do? What's that? I'm sorry, you have to speak louder. Resurrect, yes! A great shepherd resurrect for his sheep. If there's no resurrection, there's no salvation. So that's why, can you imagine if our Lord Jesus Christ just died for us and then he say, okay, I die for you. That's it, right? And then there's no hope, you understand? He must die and also resurrect and give us this hope that one day that you and I will resurrect. Then he's not only a good shepherd, a great shepherd, he also was the last shepherd, the book of Peter. First Peter, he's a what shepherd? He's a what shepherd? Awesome shepherd. Awesome. Awesome shepherd. I can't say awesome. Awesome shepherd. No, he's not an awesome shepherd. Yes, he's a chief shepherd. And what does a chief shepherd do? A chief shepherd do? So what's that mean? What does it mean he gives the crown of glory? He would do what for the sheep? Yes, he gives him salvation, but he does what for the sheep? What will... Yes, come for his sheep, you understand? Can you imagine Jesus Christ died and then he resurrected? I'll see you guys later. Right? That's it. Now we turn back. Then the hope will not be complete. You understand? So that's why our Lord Jesus Christ, he died for us. He resurrected for us. You know what? He will come back for us. This is complete salvation for all mankind. Because right now, you and I are waiting for him. Can you imagine he say he's never going to return again? That's why PMVP, we start in second coming of Jesus Christ. Right? Everybody's excited, right? For Jesus come back. But if he left and he said, you know, I'm sorry I have to leave you as orphans and I won't see you again. Right? But no, he said, look, I'm going to my Father, right? And I'm going to prepare what? A mansion for you, a place for you. And when my Father's house, there's many mansions. And where I am, I also want you to be. I won't leave you orphan. I will send you the Holy Spirit for now, but I will come back for you. This is complete salvation. So this is very important. Okay? So that's why there's no religion in the world can save a person beside Christianity, beside the truth that Jesus Christ has revealed to you and I. So that's why when we talk about, you know, salvation, even the saints in the Old Testament, they cannot be saved unless our Lord Jesus Christ died for them, resurrect for them, and also come back for them. Come back for them. Okay. So let me ask you a quick question, right? Anybody have any questions before I ask you questions? Anything else? Yes. Mark 9:38-41. Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who docks." I think mine's missing. What's that word there? Who does? My is faded away. "Who does not follow us, casting out demons in your name? And we forbade him because he does not follow us." Verse 39. But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me." Verse 40. "For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever give us a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." So here the disciples say to Jesus Christ that these people, right, who they did not follow them, they did not follow us casting out demons in your name, right? So these people cast out demon in the name of Jesus, but did not follow him. But they say, you cannot do that, right? Right? That's what's going on right now, right? With the disciple. And Jesus said, no, you cannot stop them. Why? Why you cannot stop them? Why? Why can't you stop them? Yes? Yes, I mean, actually, even though they don't follow us, just like many other Christian denominations, they're not an enemy. That's one thing you and I need to realize. No, when I talk to other denominations, things like that, really, I try to do my best to be their best friends, right? Actually, because they love God so much. But right now, they cannot see the complete truth. And for sure, they're not our enemies. Unless it's like the Mormon church, right? Jehovah's Witness. Those people, they don't preach the gospel. You understand? They speak false doctrines. But there's a lot of churches out there, they truly love Jesus Christ. But they just cannot see the complete truth. So that's why you and I cannot, they're not enemies, actually. They are friends. Even they, when we talk to them, they believe in Jesus Christ. That's already a good beginning already, right? Because we're all Christian, we all believe in Jesus Christ. That's why so many denominations, they just feel, look, we're all brothers and sisters, right? As Christians. But I mean, that is fine, but then they go to the other extreme, right? Because for them, it doesn't matter what church you go to, it doesn't matter what kind of doctrine you have, we're all brothers, we're all sisters. But actually, no. Brothers and sisters, very clear, they do the will of God. Brother, sister, you must be born again of what? Of God. If you're born of flesh, I'm sorry, you're not my brother. You're not my sisters, right? You're born of the will of man, I'm sorry, you're not my brother, my sisters. If you are born of the flesh, the will of the flesh, of blood, sorry, you're not my brother. Only when you're born of God, then you are my brother and sisters. We have to realize this. But nevertheless, they're not an enemy. Remember Ishmael was born, right? If Ishmael called Abraham father, and what Abraham can say? Yes, my son. Right? Yes, my son, right? But was Ishmael the promised one? No, of course not. But God still loved him. Remember he was in the desert, right? No water, drink, and the angel came and took care of him and his mother, right? God also take care of other Christian denominations too, because they love God and God loves them. But loving and to salvation are two different things. For example, we're going to study the rich young ruler. Did God love the rich? Did Jesus love the rich young ruler? Yes. But was he willing to follow Jesus? No. So the same thing many other Christian denominations. God loves them and they also love God. But the problem is they're not willing to do God's will. They want to do their own will, their own ways. And this is the problem. So here, and that's why in these the four verses, tell us that actually, no, whoever's even give us a cup, right, a small cup of water, they are on our side. So in other words, a lot of Christians out there, they preach Jesus Christ, right? Thank God, they preach Jesus Christ. That's why I share with you in Africa, we're not the first one were there. The first Christian group were there. They were eaten alive, right? They were eaten, they were killed, they were eaten. So for us, they already preached Jesus there. So all we go there, what do we preach when we go there? Huh? What do we preach when we go there? Doctrines, right? Our basic beliefs. Just like now, you now say, oh, a lot of time in our church, because there's a lot of Asian I come here as truth seeker, that's why we always talk about Jesus, right? But most of the time I talk to other denominations, I don't need to talk about Jesus. They know about Jesus. They believe in Jesus. So what we need to talk about has always had to do with doctrines, right? Doctrines. Because that is the complete truth. Yes. Yes. Actually, I would not recommend any one of you to join any Christian group. But at the same time, you also don't need to be their enemies, right? I mean, you can go and check it out, what they are like, this and that, but I would not recommend you to join it, because if you join because their doctrines, the way they believe, is very different. When I went to Hawaii one year, and I went to the University of Hawaii, and they invited me to go and talk to the students there. So when I went in and I had my Bible and I read her Bible study, right, and they start laughing, like, oh, you brought your Bible. I'm like, I'm a pastor, what do you want me to bring, right? And they say, oh, we don't study the Bible. We just come here, we play the guitar, we just praise God, you know, and everything is well, right? And that's what they do, right? Then I say, okay, if you guys just do that, I'm not gonna come anymore, right? Because it's no point. Why would I go to listen to play the guitar? I just can't go on Pandora and listen whatever I want, right? I don't need to go there. But the concept is like, yeah, we don't study the Bible. If any Christian group does not study the Bible, first of all, yeah, you definitely should not go, because they're really not serious. But I'm saying it doesn't mean you cannot go and check it out, right? You can go and check it out, this and that. But there's also some group is very forceful, right, and very aggressive. For us, we have to try our best not to argue with them. There's no need to argue. But what you need to do is testify what you believe. And that's it. For example, you know, you testify about baptism, Holy Spirit, foot washing, Holy Communion, all those things. You can testify to them. If they don't want to believe, what should you do? It's fine. Really? Yeah. You just move on, right? And you don't need to worry too much about those kind of stuff. Because God never asked us to give the increase. Right? Sometimes we always take that to be very personal. No, you and I, we sow the seed, and once in a while we water, and once in a while we give a call, hey, how you doing? You know, you still want to come to church? That's it. If they don't want to come, that's fine. It's nothing has to do with us. You really must have that kind of mentality. If you don't, you're always going to, you know, you're going to lose hope and preaching to others. I mean, we can preach to 100 people, if we get one person to come to church, wow, that's a great high percentage. 1 out of 100, right? That's what? 1%, right? That's pretty good. But most of the time, it doesn't work that way. You can preach to 1,000 people. Maybe one comes to church, right? And even come to church within a couple of weeks, they don't come anymore, right? It's not has nothing to do with us. We continue to preach. We continue to plow. We continue to sow the seed. But God will make it grow, right? Can you make the sun come out anytime you want? Can you make the rain come down anytime you want? No, you cannot. But you sow the seed, right? And you hope that God will send the sun and also the rain. Not too much rain, not too much sun, right? Because too much rain, and then all the root will be rotted, and then it cannot grow. Too much sun, there's not enough water, the plant will die. So everything is up to God, really. Everything is up to God. Okay? Yes. Oh. Yeah, I think when you're trying too hard, when you start to argue, that's when you're trying too hard, right? And especially when you talk to others about your faith. Really, when I talk to other pastors and stuff like that, when I encounter them, stuff like that, and quite often we start laughing, you know, because, I mean, I remember one time I was playing golf, and it just happened the two people who played golf with me, they were pastors from another church, right? And we talked, then I like, oh, what kind of sermon do you guys give, this and that? And all the pastor, they from the same church. the older pastors here, yeah, the younger pastor, he always preach exactly what the members want to hear. Because after they preach, they go down and get the offering box. That's how they get paid. Right? That's how they get paid. So the younger pastor, he said he quite often he doesn't even preach from the Bible. That's what he said right in front of the young pastor, right? Because he want to make more money, that's why, right? But the old pastor said, no, I always preach what's in the Bible. And quite often, sometimes when I go to the offering box, there's nothing in there. Because people don't like my preaching, you know. And then I told him the system of our church. And the old pastor's like, wow, that is a great system, right? Because for us, the congregation themselves don't really directly pay us, right? So we can speak whatever we want. There's no offering box. We're not going to go there and get anything, right? We're always going to get the same pay, whatever we speak. So after we talk, and I think that old pastor is going to implement that in his church. The system, right? Like that, right? So actually, you can see many Christians, they are good people, really. And one time on my way from Africa, I met this old man, and he was a doctor, right, all his life. Then he dedicated 3 years in Africa, him and his whole family go to Africa, what? You know, helping those who are sick and teaching them English. Can you and I do that? Really? We go there for 1 week, we're all like, oh man, 1 week in Africa. 3 years with his whole family there. So that's why when you talk to other Christian denominations, we must show love, a lot of love. Why? Because Satan has blinded their eyes. They cannot see, really. They cannot see. So that's the kind of mentality you and I need to have, okay? Whoever's on our side, even give us a little bit of hope, a little bit of help preaching Jesus Christ, they're on our side. So let it be. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. 14:51. Yeah, that is, yeah, this one is a very strange one. But 51. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young man laid hold of him, verse 52, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked, right? I also wonder, like, okay, why this thing is in here? You know, it's very interesting, right? And can anybody explain why is it in here? Can anybody explain why it's in here? Maybe you can ask Pastor Huang. He's the senior pastor right now of all of us. I really don't know why it's in here. I don't know the connection. Maybe Mark, he just got excited and this, you know, is he this guy? Have a linen cloth, then he just ran naked. I don't know. It, yeah, I really don't know. Yeah. 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 Yes? What's that? Oh, maybe Mark is talking about himself. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. Okay, he was naked in the first place. Right, because he was naked, then he threw a linen cloth on himself, and the young man laid hold of him. Young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from. I don't know. It's just very hard to say. Right? It's very hard to say. Yeah, I mean, whatever you guys think it is, that it is. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Let's. Any other questions? Okay. What time is period over? 10:20? I mean, yeah, what is it? 10:10. Okay, 10:10, thank you. Okay, let's go to Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Why keep saying 20? Is the PMVP 20 to finish? The same time, right? I'm confused. Okay, Mark 10:10. Let's study quickly about the marriage and divorce, right? I think this is very important, especially for young people like you, right? You need to know what is right to do. Chapter 10, verse 1. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea, by the other side of the Jordan, and multitude gathered to him again. You can see, right, always multitude. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ is like an oxen. He has no time to breathe. Always busy, 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 busy. And then, as he was accustomed, he taught them again, right? It becomes such a custom, right? The multitude comes, he teaches them. Multitude comes, he taught them, right? Verse 2, then the Pharisee came asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him, right? Testing him. Verse 3, and he answered and said to them, what did Moses commanded you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Verse 7, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one flesh. Verse 9, therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. Verse 10, 11. In the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marry another commit adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commit adultery. So the first thing here that you can see the patriarchs, right? A lot of them have multiple wives. But we know that from the beginning, actually, it's wrong. It never was the right thing. Because from the beginning, God meant is only for what? One Adam and one Eve. But who was the first one that had multiple wives? Who was the first person with multiple wives? Huh? Who? Who was the first one that had multiple wives in the book of Genesis? Lamech, right? Lamech was what genealogy was he from? Huh? Cain. Was he a good guy, Lamech? No, he's more evil than Cain, right? And he's so proud being evil. Cain, he didn't do anything the way I do things. If a young man says something to me, I would kill him. That's why Lamech is so proud, right? Then he talked to his wife, like Alda and Zella, right? The two names, the weird two names, but whatever. But I mean, you think he treated them nicely? No. So that's why actually, from then on, of course, even though the patriarchs, they had multiple wives and stuff like that, was never the will of God. Then we say, look, but God never punished them for it, right? But it doesn't mean it was not right. I mean, it was not wrong. But we don't know, I mean, but you think all the one who have multiple wives, they always suffer, right? Right? They always suffer. Always bad something happened to them. Okay? So that's why sometimes, even though God is all powerful, there's one thing he cannot do. God is all powerful, but there's one thing he cannot do. What is that one thing he cannot do? Huh? Yes, force us to do something. Take our free will away. God would never ever take our free will away. You know, God loves me, and I'm God's servant, but I want to cross that street on that road there with my eyes closed. You think God's going to send an angel to take me away? No, I'm going to be dead, get hit by a car. That is my will, you understand? That is my will. So God can never take your free will away, but he always tells you what we need to do. You need to choose this if you want life. If you want death, you can choose this. It's up to us. But he never forced us. The same thing with my adopted father. When God really moved his heart, right, and show him this way he's going to go when he dies, is to Hades. But then God did not force my father to baptize. It's up to him if he wants to be baptized or not, after seeing all these things. So the same thing for you and I. That's why you can see Joshua, right? What was the famous statement of Joshua? Say to the people. Huh? Yes, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. But you know, for you guys, you want to go worship the other gods? You go ahead. Be my guest, right? But for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And God also gave them choices, right? If you take this on my right hand, you will live. If you choose this in my left hand, you will not live. So it's always to do choices. Nowadays, exactly the same thing. God can never stop you from doing your will. But God will guide you, right? Guide you and make your eyes open to see, to choose what is right. Okay? And then we can see here that we know from the beginning. So I know there's always a lot of question why the Old Testament have multiple wives and stuff like that, this and that, right? But for us, what do we need to focus on? From the beginning, our Lord Jesus Christ's teaching is always one man, one woman. But now it's so complicated, right, with the same-sex marriage. I mean, this is to break the institution of the first institution of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you have same-sex marriage, the whole family structure is going to fall apart. You know, I met a couple from Sweden the other day. And for them, I shared with them all how we just passed the same-sex marriage law and this and that. And they're like, oh, you guys never had that before? And I said, no. But for them, they have it for many years already. So she just told me last week she took her kid to school. And then these two mothers. So the young boy called one of the mothers dad and called the other one mom, right? And then she was a little bit confused, like, oh, how does this little boy know which one is dad, which one is mom, right? Because they are both female, right? So, of course, the dad, so she asked him, how you become the dad and how you become the mom, right? And they say, oh, because I'm the stronger one in the family. And, and then we decided I'm the dad. So from now on, my kids have to call me dad. It's just very chaotic. It's very strange, right? Can you imagine when you guys have kids, right? You go to school and stuff, right? You see two mothers and two fathers, right? Your kids be all confused. How are you not going to be confused, right? Which one is dad, which one is mom? And then when it's two guys, which one is mom? Right? The most feminine one is mom, right? But he's still a dude, right? Right? It's just so confusing, right? It's just so confusing. So actually, Satan is very clever. For example, right now, abortion. Have you heard anyone talk about abortion nowadays? You heard? I haven't heard anyone talk about abortion nowadays. Okay, if you hear it, how many babies get aborted every single year? You guys know? In America? Huh? Yes. Oh, so you guys know already, because I talked to you about it, right? But the thing is, Satan is like that. And now with same-sex marriage, the same thing. Watch, after 5 years or so, it's become very common. Yeah, you can see, two dudes, two girls that pretend to be a dude. Right? All this kind of stuff, right? Because all these things actually is sin against God's structures of family. So that's why for us, one man, one woman, this is what God wants from us, right? So if any brothers, if you want desire to have more than one wife and stuff like that, God be with you. It's just, yeah. Really, in reality, one woman is already hard enough to take care of. Never mind two, right? And that's why a lot of brothers in Africa who have multiple wives, they're always sick all the time. And look at all the brothers, all the husbands. Who die first, the wife or the husband? Huh? Who usually die first? The husband always die first. In Hawaii right now, a lot of sister husbands, all the husbands die already. They're still alive, the sisters, right? Because men, we are weak. One woman is way enough already, right? But even that's God's commandment for us anyway, okay? And then let's go look at verse 10. In the house, his disciple also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to him, whoever divorces his wife and marry another, commit adultery against her. So here, when you are divorced and you marry another person, right? This means you commit adultery. Why? Because the two of you, when you are married, that's why when Pastor Huang shared with you guys that in a relationship, the most important relationship is not between parents and children. It's between wife and husband. Why? 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 What's the reason? Huh? Yes, because there's no other relationship that you are one. Only between wife and husband, you are one. For me, for sure, I love my nieces and nephew, but I would never put them before my wife. There's no way. And that's one of the reasons maybe we don't have children, really. I'm too selfish. I want my wife all to myself. Right? Okay, my wife doesn't want kids. But for me, I say, thank God, right? She has more time for me, you understand? I hardly see her already. If I go home, then she always have to take care of the babies, right? I take care of the kids, and then I'm going to feel left out, right? But no, actually, remember this. When you guys are married, really, your husband or your wife is the most important person. Your kids, you know, one day they'll have their own family and stuff like that, they will leave, right? Then who are you going to stuck with? Your wife and husband. If you don't have a good relationship with your wife and husband, then first of all, the kid's not going to grow up to be well, you know, well-rounded. Right? And second, when you don't have a good relationship with your spouse, when your kids leave, you become hateful toward one another. Because you have no connection, no relationship, no nothing at all. That's why for sisters, when you have children, don't neglect your husband. Your husband, he's the first kid. He's your first kid, really, right? You take care of, you know, take care of him. And I'm serious, actually. You really must have that kind of mentality. Because quite often, wives put so much time to the children, then they neglect the husband. And then the husband, because, you know, wives, you guys are a supporter, right? You are a backbone. You are our neck, right? Even though we are the head, but you guys are the neck that move the head, right? You must realize this. If you have a good relationship with one another, and then your children also be more healthier also. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, it'd be healthier. So this is why it's so important. You must be one. When two people become one, they're very strong, right? They're very strong. But if they're divorced, of course, we hope there's no divorce, right, at all. But if you divorce and then you marry another person, of course you commit adultery. Then the same thing with a woman. A woman divorced her husband, she married another, she also commit adultery. It's just very simple. So in other words, really, for those, you know, some of us who commit fornication, things like that, really, it's one of the worst things you can do. Why? Because when you fornicate, especially with a Gentile, and the Gentile have sexual relationship with another 5 or 10 people, this means you, and then the other 5, 10 people have another 5, 10 people. So in the end, you fornicate or commit adultery with 100 people. Think about this. Do you understand? Not only that, when you have any kind of intimate relationship with them, it's like eating doo-doo, right? Someone chew your food and then spit it and put in doo-doo and you eat it. How disgusting that is, right? And that's why God wants you to be pure and wants you to be holy, right? Your wife, your husband should be the first person you are with. And that's how wonderful relationship is. So that's why, remember, don't be like Esau. Really, sell your birthright for a bowl of stew. Because he was hungry. But for us, don't be that hungry. Really, if you're hungry, go do some exercise. Like brothers, a lot of you need to lift weights and stuff too, right? Get bad exercise. Go running, right? 10 miles, 50 miles, just like Forrest Gump, you know? Go running. Get all your stress out, right? Really. If you just stay home and do nothing all the time, and that's when you fall into temptation, right? I know, because I'm a man too, right? I know, I'm a guy too. You got to be active. You got to do things, right? And for me, what I do when I'm home, usually I spend in my garden, right? I build this garden in my backyard. Even though it's like 105 degrees outside, you know, I'm out there. I'm out there because to sit inside quite often is not good. And pick something that you enjoy doing. Really, play sports. That's the most healthiest way, right? I mean, look at Dennis, right? I told you when he's young, he'd be very chubby, right? Now he's all a little buff, right? A stock walking around, right? Because he put his time, on his Facebook or whatever, you can see he's all lifting weights and stuff like that, right? And that's quite healthy, you understand? Do that, right? Go and do sports, do something. Video games, I mean, I'm not saying that you should not play video games at all, right? I mean, of course, you can play Pac-Man, Mario Brothers, all this kind of stuff there. It's pretty fun, right? But you just sit there and play video games, first your brain become mush, right? Your brain become mush. Then your body become mush too, right? And sisters too, right? Do exercise, good for you, right? Be in good shape, right? Feel good about yourself, because for sisters, if you don't look good, you're not going to feel good. That's how it is. If you go out and do exercise stuff, you feel really good about yourself. And that's why a lot of brothers, like my age, in the 50s almost, it's 10 past away. They always complain, you know, my wife, they want to go do their nails. They want to go do their hair, right? And I say, you should allow them to do that. Why you should allow them to do that? You should allow them to do that. Why? Why? Why do you think that is, huh? Huh? What do you, sister, what do you say? Oh, yeah, happy wife, happy life. But, and brother, take that too hard, right? It's true, happy, you know, wife, happy life. But, No, when sisters, no, when women, when they're in their 40s, in their 50s, they really look at themselves like, look at me, right? After having two kids, I'm so ugly looking, right? Really don't feel good about themselves. They become so depressed in that. So it's so, when they want to go and make themselves look good, it's fine, right? Yeah, $80, $100, who cares, right? If your wife is happy, you are happy, right? But thank God my wife doesn't do any of those things. You know? You know. But if your wife wants to do that, it's fine. Really, it's fine. Okay? Let's go to Mark. I'm sorry, give me another minute. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15 to 18. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And this sign will follow those who believe in the name, that they will cast out demons. They will speak a new tongue. Verse 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Be complete and finish book of Mark. So let's bow and pray in silence.